Our subject this morning, which we hope to bring before you with the Lord's help, is the calling of the disciples, which I believe is a pattern of the Lord's calling all his people unto himself. And we will see that there is a variety of ways in which the Lord does this. I want to base my remarks particularly around the words and the example of Nathanael that you will find in the 47th verse of the first chapter of the Gospel according to John. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had come to declare that the Messiah had come into the world, and that it would be revealed unto John whom this Messiah would be. And when John sees the Lord Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which cometh in the name of the Lord." On the second day of John's declaring of the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Christ, to have come into the world, two of John's disciples begin to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord speaks to them and says, "What seek ye? What is the purpose of your following after me?" And they say unto him, "Master, where dwellest thou?" We have this simple answer by the Lord Jesus Christ, which we will find repeated again in the case of Philip and Nathanael. "Come and see." Come and see for yourselves. Come and see the wondrous works of God. Come follow after the Christ of God. And these two followed him to his dwelling and no doubt spake with him. Now one of those two, Andrew, went to find Simon Peter, his brother, and makes this great declaration of faith. "We have found the Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ." There was no hesitation, no doubt in the mind of Andrew, that having heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, being by sovereign grace attracted unto him, there is able to make this declaration of him in whom he believed. And he brings Simon Peter to Jesus, and Jesus speaks of him in this way, "Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." Now it's remarkable the different ways in which disciples are called to the Lord Jesus Christ there, both when the Lord was upon the face of this earth and also when he ascended up into heaven by the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Some are brought with a desire to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, some out of curiosity, some the Lord directly speaks to and calls them to himself. So on this next day, that is the fourth day, Philip is called by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting for us to notice that perhaps Philip had heard, being of the same city which the evangelist makes special notice of here, that he had heard something of the speech of Andrew and his companion, of their meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps not. We don't know. But this is the point. The Lord Jesus findeth Philip. Was the Lord's will and purpose, and you'll find that throughout the Gospels, there are times of those that came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some came because they had heard of his fame. Some came because they had need, sicknesses to be healed, conditions to be met, and they came to the Lord Jesus Christ for that purpose. And others the Lord Jesus Christ came to. We have the case of the man that was lame, who sat at Bethesda waiting for the waters to be stirred up that he might find that cure. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to him. We have the interesting case of Zacchaeus. Out of curiosity, up the sycamore tree to see this man who had been famed and made renowned. And just out of curiosity to see who this man was. And he wasn't expecting that the Lord Jesus Christ would stop and not only speak to him, but call him and invite himself to Zacchaeus' house. We have the case of the blind man who called after the Lord Jesus Christ, blind Bartimaeus, who they tried to hush, but the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased to hear his voice and came to him, or rather, he was brought to Jesus. And so we have this rich variety of cases in the scripture of how the Lord comes to meet with his people and how his people come to meet with him. Now, it may seem to us that it is haphazard, as it were, that there is no clear-cut case or direction, but these, we must remember, are all known of God. The foundation of God, says the Apostle Paul, standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall, in one way or another, shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now people want to complicate the gospel, and they want to set down a certain standard or a certain condition that we have to meet in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe we have a demonstration here in this first chapter of John that the Lord's people will be made willing in the day of his power and will come in a variety of ways to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will see in this example of Philip and Nathanael especially how that the Lord is at times pleased to use means in gathering his people unto himself. And we will see, I believe, how weak and insufficient in and of themselves these means are. And yet the Lord uses them for his own glory and for his people's good. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth, I believe that means, and first findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. What plain and simple words the Lord Jesus Christ spake. And I believe this is a characteristic that flows through all the Gospels, plain, simple truths, plain, simple speech, spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing complicated in the language, but something very deep and very profound in the words in which he spake. He never spake an idle word. He never spake anything that was meaningless. What he spake was direct and to the point and for the purpose for which he would speak the words. There is much more then that we must see in this simple calling of Philip in the words of Jesus, "Follow me." Or as he spake to Peter after the resurrection by the side of the lake there, "Follow thou me." As we have said, Jesus was going to Galilee. He was going to make this journey to Galilee. And in the first instance, perhaps the words meant, "Follow me on my journey to Galilee." But of course, there is much more. These words were to follow me throughout my earthly pilgrimage. Follow me to the cross, and follow me to the crown. Follow me through natural life, and follow me into eternal life. What a blessed call the gospel then gives. And these words of the Lord Jesus Christ being reiterated by the apostles whom he appointed and commissioned them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And down to our day, where the Lord's servants and the Lord's people are to declare the word of the Lord. And we can say to people, we can suggest to people, we can ask people to follow the Lord Jesus. We know that we have no power in and of ourselves to convince them. But if the Lord has put a seed, a beginning in their heart, there will be an attraction, a desire, that they also might follow him. Well, let us ask ourselves then this important question. Do we this morning have a desire, however great or however small that desire is, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Then perhaps these words here are a word in season to your never dying soul. Follow me. And if that word should come with divine power by the blessed Spirit of God, there will be a following on to know the Lord. Your desire will be enhanced and greatly increased until you will shout out, as it were, "For that knowledge of him, that which I know not, teach thou me." And so Philip was called to follow Jesus, not just simply to follow him for the time and for the moment, but to follow him, to have a new life, a life of service for the Lord, to do that which was his bidding. "Ye are not your own," says the apostle, "ye are bought with a price." And so those that are truly converted and made disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ have a performance to accomplish in following the Lord Jesus Christ whithersoever he may lead us. And again, not all the Lord's people are led in the same way, and also brought in the same direction. The Lord has various purposes for his people. One is to be a pastor, one to be an evangelist, one to be a mother in Israel. one to be a comforter of God's people, or one to be a strength unto others, a support in the work of the ministry or of the gospel. So the Lord's people are a diverse people, but they're all led to this same glorious truth, and that truth is embodied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Philip's first performance, if we may put it that way, is to go and find Nathanael. And we want to discover a little of the character and the Lord's dealings with Nathanael ever before he came to see the Lord Jesus Christ in person and to discourse with him. Now, Philip's words to Nathanael, and we find in these words a certain ignorance on Philip's part, an ignorance that would be addressed as he followed the Lord and learned more of him. He said unto Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Philip then is convinced. We find this great declaration, a man who is not half-hearted in his belief, not undecided in his way. The Lord has called him by his grace and with his power, and Philip's eyes have been opened to behold wondrous things out of God's holy law. He sees the Old Testament scriptures, which perhaps he knew well as an Israelite. They were generally taught in the Old Testament scriptures. And now he sees that final denominator that brings the whole Word of God to life. To whom is Moses addressing his thoughts? To whom do the practices of the Old Testament temple and sacrifice point? To whom are the prophets looking? And of whom is the whole embodiment of the book written about? Well, of course, it speaks of Jesus. The whole Old Testament is a picture and foretaste of the coming and the purposes, the work, and the completion of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ here upon this earth. We've spoken many times of Philip and the eunuch, how the eunuch was reading the scriptures and has no understanding really of what he's reading. He wants someone to be an interpreter, to open up this word to him. Now we read that Philip begins at the same scripture, in the prophecy of Isaiah, and preaches unto him, speaks unto him of Jesus Christ. We have the same thing with Jesus Christ himself on the road to Emmaus. There are these two that are saddened because of all that has taken place. The Lord, in whom they had put their great confidence and trust, had been crucified, was dead and buried. And they were sad because they thought that it was he that would restore the kingdom of Israel. And as so many of the Jews then believed that when the Messiah would come, he would raise up national Israel, they didn't consider that his kingdom was not of this world, but his kingdom was the kingdom of heaven. And so they misunderstood the purpose of Christ's coming. But the Lord Jesus Christ comes to these two that are walking and opens them up, and opens up all the things that speak of himself. What a wonderful sermon that must have been. how their hearts were touched, how their ears, as it were made alive, as the Lord Jesus Christ expounded in all the scriptures those things concerning himself. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is the central sum and substance of all the scriptures. Take out Christ out of the scriptures, and in reality you've got nothing left. But it's little wonder that Nathanael answers as he does, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" You see, Philip had spoken of Jesus of Nazareth, and that name would be a name of contempt, a name of disgrace among the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders. Nazareth was not a place that was commended. It was a place of disrenown. And he speaks of him as the son of Joseph, rather than a knowledge that he would later obtain that he was truly the Son of God. And so Nathanael says, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And again we have this simple statement, "Come and see." You know, it's very difficult by words to persuade anyone of the gospel of God's grace. An unbeliever, you might tell them about the gospel, but it is hard for them to see the truth and the reality, the vitality of the gospel. Also, we cannot scare, as some have done over the centuries. They've preached blood and brimstone, fire and hell, and tried to scare the people into repentance and into faith. Well, that has never, of course, worked. But here is, again, sweet simplicity. And it seems to me such a wonderful thing that the gospel is made so simple and so profound. Philip had discovered a real treasure. And whilst we read in the parable that the treasure was hid in the earth, yet there came a time for its discovery. And there is a time when we must go forth and speak. Then they that feared the Lord, we read in Malachi, spake often one to another. What did they speak about? They spake about what the Lord had done for them, how they had discovered the Lord Jesus Christ, how they had come to know these precious scriptures for themselves, how they had now put on Christ and desired to live to his honour and glory, and to do those things which were right in his sight. So Philip says unto Nathanael, "Come and see. Come and experience these things for yourself. Come and know this same Saviour." And isn't it the purpose of the preaching of the gospel, whether it is in an orderly fashion or a regulated fashion, should we say, as in the church service, or whether it is by the individual, we are to point sinners to the Saviour. Come and see. Come and see the one in whom I am convinced. Come and see the one whom I believe. Come and see him who is the embodiment of all that is good and precious and holy and profitable for us. Come and see him. who is able to deliver our souls from death and bring us into the kingdom of heaven at last. Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming. Philip was not disobedient when the Lord invited him to follow him. And Nathanael was not disobedient when Philip suggested unto him that he should come and see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now these words are very telling. And they are a great declaration. We find now and again the Lord Jesus Christ praising man for what in reality God had given him. We think of the centurion calling for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and heal his servant. And then he sends a message to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord does not need to come in person, but all he has to do is speak the word and it shall be done. He believed that the Lord Jesus Christ had that profound authority to be able to command, as God in the beginning of the world commanded, and the earth stood fast. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. So the Lord Jesus Christ was able to command, the same as he commanded at the death of Lazarus, as he shout with a loud voice, Lazarus come forth, and there at the commanding voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lazarus came forth, clothed head and foot with grave clothes, and he said, loose him and let him go. So here is one that has great authority and great power. Here is the Christ of God. And Nathanael is going to come to a discovery of this one who was not totally unknown to him, because I believe that Nathanael believed the scriptures of the Old Testament. Yet there were still the scales upon his eyes until the Lord Jesus Christ opened them that he might see himself. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now I want to immediately say that this does not mean that he was not a sinner. What it means that he had no cloak for his sin. He was an open, honest man of integrity. He believed in God. He believed the necessity of repentance and faith in God. He lived up to the light that he was given. If we think back in history to some of the reformers, we might today criticize them because of certain things that they did not believe. Well, when we remember from what they came from and what they came to, they covered a tremendous amount of ground. I believe that they lived to the light that was given to them. And we found from the beginning of the scriptures, from the day of Adam, to this day, and I believe to the end of the world, there is this enlightening of the scriptures. If you think of the Old Testament saints, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, you could go through a whole list of the saints of God. They did not have the gospel. They did not have the discovery of Christ that is made available to us today. They did not have the whole canon of scriptures complete in their hands. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ said concerning Abraham, that Abraham rejoiced to see my day, He saw it and was glad. And so these disciples here, as they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, are ignorant of so many things. Why is it, said the Lord Jesus Christ to them on one occasion, why is it you do not believe? After the day of Pentecost, what a great change came when the Holy Spirit came upon them with divine power. And I believe we have here a picture of those that are seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ, who perhaps at this present time have not seen him as he is. The Holy Spirit has not granted that great revelation of his person and work. But these that are coming are to be encouraged to come. Come and see. Come and see the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a surprise it was to Nathanael that Jesus knew him. It would appear that they had never met before, whether the Lord Jesus Christ had cast his natural eye, as it were, upon Nathanael, we cannot tell. But we know that God sees his people. The same with Hagar, as the time when she had run out of water and she had laid her son aside and was prepared to die. And the Lord came and appeared unto her and showed her the water that was nearby. And she made this comment, "Thou, God, seest me." It was a divine revelation that she had given unto her. Now she knew that there was a God, and she knew that that God looked down upon her and saw her in her her extremity and her need. A God that was close at hand, a God that was near to her, and a God who would preserve her life and grant her blessing. Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. It is often the case with the Lord that he begins to prepare his people. A work of grace often begins imperceptibly, but the person upon whom that work of grace is begun does not realize it. But the Lord begins to lead his people into a love of the truth and a desire for fellowship with himself. You take the person that perhaps comes to the service on the Lord's Day, but that's the only time you see them. And when the Lord begins to work in their heart and gives them an interest and a desire for the scriptures and for the truth of those scriptures, then you see them begin to attend more. They come perhaps twice on the Lord's Day, and then they come in the week. And they come because they want to hear. They have an ear opened that is willing to hear what the Lord will speak unto them. Now they give attention to the ministry of God's word, and a desire begins to well up with in them that that word may be for them, that the Lord will speak directly to them. Then came the word of the Lord expressly unto me. What a blessed time that is when the Lord begins to open our hearts and make them receptive for the word of God, that we may hearken to what the Lord has to say. Not what man has to say, but what the Lord has to say through his word unto us, individually. Religion is an individual thing. We speak to a congregation, whether it's large or small, but the Lord speaks to individuals. The message may be particularly for one person, or for several in a congregation, or it may be for all the people. But if we have ears, They that have ears to hear, said Jesus, let them hear. Let them hear what God the Lord will say unto them. So, the circumstance of Nathanael sitting under the fig tree was a time, I believe, that he was in communion with God, a time when perhaps his prayers began to rise up unto the Lord God of Israel. And perhaps it was said of him, as it was said of Saul of Tarsus, behold, he prayeth. Perhaps Nathanael had some special prayer, some special need at that time, some special request to make known unto God. That Christ is God, I can avouch, and for his people cares, since I have prayed to him as such, and he has heard my prayers. What a blessed time it is, when not only do we pray earnestly unto God through Jesus Christ, but that those prayers are answered. We hear the word of God, a word of direction, a word perhaps of rebuke, of chastisement, if need be, but a word that the Lord directs unto us, an answer to our prayers. How encouraging to pray unto God. We should have every encouragement. As those that are brought up in the house of God, we should have every encouragement to pray. But when that time comes, when especially we know that God has heard because he has answered our prayers, then it gives us a fresh impetus to pray more and more sincerely. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? And isn't it surprising to us, although in one sense it shouldn't be, that God knows us. He knows us through and through. He knows us altogether, exactly as we are. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Now to the heathen, to have a discovery that God knows every thought and every word and every action must be a horrific experience. It must be terrible to them to know that this all-searching God knows the secret of their hearts and knows their pernicious ways, the great wickedness of their heart and their terrible unbelief. But to one who is seeking after God, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. To one that is seeking after God, to know that God is a God that knows all about us. He knows our secrets. There's nothing we can hide from him. Then I believe it is that we can feel that desire to truly repent of our sins, because the Lord knows the sum and the weight of them. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful thing to have this great load of our sins, which weighs us down day by day, to have it taken from us. We have that wonderful description in Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress, when Bunyan comes to the hill difficulty, where he comes up that hill and comes to the foot of the cross. and his great burden rolls off his back. And he quotes these words, blessed cross, blessed sacrifice, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. Yes, to confess our sins, to have that weight taken off us, to have our burden roll down into that empty sepulchre, and to be lost forever and forever. To know that freedom which is in Christ Jesus. Whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. I saw thee. I knew everything about you, Nathaniel. I knew your desires and your longings. I knew the work that I had begun in your heart, that work that must come to perfection. He who hath begun a good work in you shall perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. I knew the time, the moment of your coming to me, and I laid bare your soul and brought you to see that wonderful salvation that is to be found in myself alone. Salvation, O my soul, rejoice, salvation is of God. It's not of man. Man is helpless and hopeless in and of himself. But when the work of God begins in his heart, they shall be made willing, he says, in the day of my power. And it is that wonderful power that is exerted in the word of God that the Holy Spirit takes and lays upon the hearts of his people and makes them willing to seek after Jesus Christ and him alone. And look at the declaration. We have a few declarations in the word of God. We have the declaration of Peter. We have the declaration of Martha. The declaration of Mary. The declaration of Peter after the resurrection. But these words must stand among the greatest words of declaration that we can find in the whole canon of Scripture. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, or Master, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Now remember when Philip had spoken to Nathanael, he said, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. But Nathanael could go further. Nathanael's eyes were opened to behold the king in his beauty. He saw the glorious I Am. He saw his Lord, his God, his Creator. He saw his all and in all. And he was able, with great faith, to be able to declare, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. My friends, have we come there? Has the Holy Spirit led us to be enabled to utter these words, whether audibly or secretly, but to speak them forth because they are the answer of faith, not only in the head, but faith that is in the heart. The faith of God's elect, the people who are chosen in Christ before the world began, who have now come to that wonderful discovery that the Lord is their God. This God is my God forever and forever. He will be my guide even unto death. Thou art. There's no hesitation. There's no question. There's no doubts and fears to be found in these words. It is an open declaration of faith. And we must, in one way or another, utter those words to show that the Lord has worked in our hearts, that we have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have kneeled before him and bowed before his feet, and recognized and acknowledged him to be our Lord. Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Well, what is there in those words? I believe there is everything. And what poor sinful man of this earth is able to fully describe the fullness, the largeness, the greatness, words fail even to describe all that is embodied in those words. Here we have the great God and Saviour Jesus Christ who came to this world for that purpose and that end, that he would save his people from their sins. He accomplished that work. He fought the fight. He won the victory. And now he is returned to sit upon the throne of God. The highest place that heaven affords. It's his by sovereign right. And he reigns until his enemies be made his footstool, until the whole election of grace be safely gathered in. And then he shall present his church faultless before his Father's throne in glory. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. What a wonderful declaration, if this might be said of us. We are those that are, with our whole heart, seeking after the Lord, if haply we might find him. And those that seek, we can be assured, will most certainly find, and will be with him forever and forever in that wonderful glory. Amen.